told me what it is to be a solid, dedicated, rooted, and grounded Christian. This man does not waver in faith. He loves the Lord, and he brings forth the word. So tonight, without further ado, Brother Thomas, come and minister to us.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated. I was going to say thank you, Brother Hawk, but we'll talk about that later. Isn't it great to be in the house of God? This weekend has been filled with joy and sadness, and this morning we had such an awesome, awesome service with the Veterans Day. Praise God. Brother and Sister Thompson and all the people that were involved in that, if you were a veteran, even if you weren't a veteran, but being a veteran, it meant so much to me. I don't think about Vietnam. I don't think about those things very often. But when I come in here and they do honor you, it just something happens inside of you that some of these memories come back up. But they're good memories. It's nice to know that everybody has not forgotten about Vietnam. Praise God. And then Christine and Mark, our very own Christine and Mark Nikielski. Praise God. They are now on their honeymoon. That seems kind of strange, but we miss them already. Praise God. Love the way they worship. What a beautiful spirit. And only God knows what that couple has, what God has in store for them. Praise God. The title of my message tonight is From Here to Eternity. And for the last, I don't know, 3 months or so, God's really been dealing with me personally. And you know how that is sometimes when God keeps putting reoccurring thoughts in your mind. You probably should pay attention, because usually those are the times where God wants you to begin studying out something or begin to meditate on some things. You know, when I was in business years ago, there were a lot of contracts that I entered into that were called time is of the essence. It was basically stating that once you sign on this dotted line, all of your rights have been taken away from you, that you have no recourse but to finish that contract on a certain day, regardless of all the things that may have happened before you. Praise God. And I think sometimes we can forget that we're one breath away from eternity right here today. That, you know, God could come back right now in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. And that's something that we don't wrap around our mind. It's hard for us to wrap around the fact that one of these days, God's going to come back for his church. The ones that are without spot or without blemish, without the cares of this world, without the deceitfulness of riches, all the things sometimes we get bogged down with and in, we need to remember something. Eternity is one breath away. There should be a sense of urgency. Praise God. If you're here tonight and you've been born again, it's really important that you understand the real potential, all the things that were supposed to happen prior to the Lord coming back, they've happened. Look around you. Pick up a newspaper and you'll see eternal signs all over the newspaper. We see wars. We see rumors of wars. We see people who are heady, high-minded. We see brutality that's beyond imagination. We see sexual immorality that is just crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But all these are signs of the time. And praise God. And I want you to know that tonight I want to help somebody jump across the bridge, if you will. And it's time, I think, for the church to be the church. I think it's time to get out of the boat, if you will, and go on to the next dimension. Whatever it might be for you, whatever it might be for me, we're all kind of cruising along at different levels based on our experiences and sometimes based on things that have happened before. We even get into the kingdom that have some of you are limited or have limited yourself. Let's turn to Philippians 2 and 12. You know, God has already given us the keys to the kingdom of God. And I don't know how many times you think about this, but, you know, life and death are in the hands of the church. Eternity is in the hands of the church, not only your own eternity. You know, some people come to God and they have a multitude of problems and God fixes all these things. But the reality of all of this is, where are you going to spend eternity? Praise God. Philippians 2 and 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always observed, not only as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Praise God. What a thought. Eternity. 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 You know, you hear a lot of talk about so-and-so has passed away. So-and-so has passed. Mrs. So-and-so has passed away. And not too many people that say that ever considered passed away to where? They passed away. Well, okay. Let's get real tonight. There's only two places you can pass away to. That you can pass away into heaven in the presence of God forever and ever, or you can pass into hell forever and ever and ever. It's pretty scary when you think about it. I've had, and I'm sure many of you have had, many loved ones who have passed away. And I'm not their judge, but, you know, I understand the Bible enough to know that there are certain requirements, if you will, that you need to do, or you need to adhere to the word of the Lord. There's a lot of watered down doctrines out there that say just close your eyes and believe and everything's going to be okay. But that's not what the scripture says. And I want you to know, I think this is the time, this is the hour for this church to stand up and be counted. I think there's close to 500,000 people now in Dane County. And out of that, close to 500,000 people. How many of these people? I mean, we're going to be responsible for them. Have you ever thought about your responsibility? If you're at a workplace, or if you're at school, or wherever, you have a sphere of influence that God's going to hold you accountable for. And your fears, your inhibitions, or whatever is not going to keep these people out of eternity saved, praise God. So I don't know, I don't like to go to the doctor, but you know when you go to a doctor, what do? They examine you, don't they? They poke you and they probe you and they open your eyes and they stick tongue depressors down, and that's depressing, Sister Brown. She's a nurse and doctor's assistant and so on. And I know it's important because what they're looking for is symptoms. Right? They're looking to see if you have certain symptoms, and by those symptoms, they'll try to give you a diagnosis. And tell you, this is maybe what you have, and if you take this medication or this pill. But, you know, we have to examine ourselves. I don't like to be poked. I don't like to be probed. I like them looking in my ears and all that stuff. And I don't take medicine. I just do. It just makes you feel crazy. And I don't need any crazy. Thank you, Brother Hawk. I told him, I feel kind of crazy tonight. I'm crazy in love with Jesus Christ. I'm crazy about the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm crazy about what this gospel has done for me. I was once blind, but now I see. Is there anything too difficult for my God? It's just between my left and my right ear. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened me. I have eternal life inside of me. It is a seed, but that seed, we sang that song, living water out of your belly. Your voice comes out of your belly and it forces out. We have living water, living eternal water, if we'll just take what God has put inside of us and share it with a lost and a dying world. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you don't feel this, and I'm be honest with you, I don't feel this every day. I need to meditate on it. I need to get my mind wrapped around eternity. People who I love dearly are not saved. They will never be saved unless I can intercede on their behalf. If I need to pray, if I need to fast, we get so bogged down with our own circumstances. This is part of the devil's plan. All these things go on in our lives, and all the time, we seem like sometimes, some days I'll spend 3 or 4 days with my issues. praise God, I need to rise up above my issues, and I need to get a hold of the God who said, let there be light, and forget about the mundane small things that have me bogged down. And remember, our mission is to seek and to save that which is lost. 2 Corinthians, hallelujah, 13:5. And this can only be done by examining yourself. Praise God. Listen to me, those of you that are in school. God doesn't grade on a curve. He grades on the word. You know, you can be in a church like this and think you're doing okay. And I'm not trying to be depressing here this evening, but it's easy to set in, flow in, and get comfortable in a church that's going and doing things and so on and so forth. But God's looking inside of you. He's looking to see what's really, really going on in your life. Not in mine, but in yours. Praise God. If there was ever a time that you were more excited about Jesus Christ than you are today, then it's only, you need to examine yourself and say, have I left my first love? Have I left that point where I was so excited about God that I couldn't wait to tell my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, that time when I was just, I couldn't put the Bible down? Have I left my first love, or I just matured? Praise God. You know, you can mature to the point where you become useless to the kingdom of God. Because the fire that God put in us in the beginning, we need to stoke it. We need to prime it. The Bible says, stir up your gift. This gift that we have, God's given us this gift not to sit in, but he's given us this gift so we can have rivers of living water pouring from our souls. We become spiritual magnets. We get into a room and people will begin to ask you, what in the world? You seem so happy. Happy? You have no idea how happy I am. You think this is a joke? No, but it's such a real thing. I plan on spending eternity in a place called heaven. And I plan on doing as much as I can for the kingdom of God with the right attitude and with the right spirit. And I don't want to be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's the key. Get your mind off of the things and turn your eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. He will keep you. He will give you everything you need to survive in this jungle that we live in. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Prove your own self. How do you prove yourself? You get into the Word of God. Are you producing fruit? Do you have souls that you have won? Do you have tears that you've shed this week, this month, this year? How many nights of intercessory prayer have you went through? And I know, and I'm preaching to the choir here, I know a lot of you are in this dimension and listen, this is the only place, the safe place to be in the kingdom of God. Anything less than 100% is not acceptable with God. God's not looking for part-time help. He's looking for people who are committed 100%. After all, what could be more important than eternal life? Not only my eternal life, but the fact that I can share this with somebody by taking the time to prepare this vessel, this body. Fast, pray, do what I have to do, but by all means that I could save somebody, I could witness to somebody, I could help somebody go from darkness to light, from here to eternity saved. Would you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. How is your prayer life? Praise God. First question Pastor Grant asks when you come into his office for counsel, how's your prayer life? When you have a problem. And why would he ask that? Because that's your line of communication. That's the golden thread that's come down from heaven, where God has given us the opportunity and the privilege to pray to him. Call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Can you imagine? I have to think about this. God's chosen each and every one of us. You're not here tonight by accident. Those of you that may have been born again, you were called of God. You were chosen. The Bible says that he saw you before the foundation of this world. He knew who you were before you were even in your mother's womb. And he saw you holy and without blemish in front of him. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 15:16, I begin to quote that. I have chosen you and ordained you. Praise God. Ordained you. Do you realize that you are an ordained minister? Not in the essence of how we ordain ministers, but if you have been baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ and been filled with his Spirit, it's sealed. You are ordained. Praise. I mean, I say, would you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ordained. Praise God. That you should go. That you should go and what? Bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. I don't know. I'm about ready to explode up here because I'm just thinking the potential that's here tonight. Just in this auditorium, 150, 200 people, if you understood that you were called and you were ordained, that God has a ministry, something above and beyond that which you are ever even considered, the God of creation is inside of you. You can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened you. Praise God. So if you've asked yourself the question after the examination, you have to ask, be honest with yourself. Am I bearing fruit? Am I happy? Do I have joy unspeakable? Do I have bitterness in my heart? If there's anything in there that's keeping you from being what you know you need to be, why don't you get rid of it? Why don't you go to God and confess it and repent? Repentance is the very first step in any spiritual growth. You can't go from here to eternity with unrepented sin in your life. You can't get there from here. Have you ever been lost before? I'm a master at it. My wife says I have a doctor's degree in getting lost because I think I know where I'm going. And I have so many funny stories. But one time I was in Milwaukee, and I was convinced that I could get to this one street, but I had to go across the river, which I did realize it was an island. There's only one bridge. So I kept going to these dead ends, going to these dead ends, going to this dead end. The guy that was with us says, excuse me, Rich, he said, I don't think you can get there from here. I says, I sure can. Oh, yeah, I could have swum over there, I guess. But, you know, that's what's happened to a lot of folks. You can't get to where you want to go spiritually in the condition that you are in. So what you need to do is find out, what do I need to do to get there from here? Because it's from here you're going to eternity. Nobody plans on dying tomorrow. Amen? Praise God. If you knew you were going to die tomorrow, close your eyes and ask yourself, what sin would I have to repent of first? I said first. Think about it. Is there anything going on in your life that's not right with God that you'd be willing to spend eternity lost, separate from God? No, that's crazy, isn't it? If you could understand eternity, I mean, come on. We would never do that. Praise God. It is our responsibility. When you think of the 500,000 people that are out there and we're in here in this comfortable building, Ezekiel 3:18, you know, we have been given a mandate of God. We have the truth. The truth has set us free. But we won't be free unless we are willing to share this truth. Ezekiel 3:18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning. You mean we have to give him warning? You ever get around people that are so vile, so wicked, that you don't even want to warn them? You ever been around people like that? Would you feel like they're just so bad? Thou givest not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. We can save their life by speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, warning them, there is a God who loves you. There is a God who has mercy. There is a God who's willing to deliver you. But you can't get to where you want to go with this on your on your soul. Praise God. Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, then he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. You know, sometimes we get I've had people come up and say, I've got this person in my workplace. I'm wondering, do you think I should witness to them? Well, how about do unto others you'd have them do unto you? That's the golden rule. You just have to be wise enough to realize you can't use the same tactic to everybody you witness to. Sometimes you can sit alongside somebody for 2 and 3 years and just be a Christian. Look for ways to be nice. Look for ways to say nice things. Look for things to do. You know, before they come to your God, you're going to have to befriend them in some cases. And there's other people that God will put right in front of you that you know that is for this time and this season. And then you have to tell them everything you know because you never probably will see them again. If nothing else, you'll plant a seed. Maybe someone else will water it. Praise God. But nevertheless, I don't want to have anybody's salvation on my soul. I don't want to have to stand in front of God and give an account for things. You know, we sometimes as Pentecostals, because we try to teach people to separate themselves from the world, the things of the world, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness, the riches, and all the things that we know that can cause people to lose out on eternity. But on the other hand, you know, we have been given this mandate. We have to do this. We have to get to the point where we feel compelled to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, our own salvation, our own eternal destiny depends upon our willingness to share what Jesus Christ has given us. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands and pray. Praise God. I want to be a soul winner. I don't know about you. Praise God. I want to be a soul winner. You ever pray, God, make me a soul winner? God, make me a soul winner. Help me, Lord, to be wise enough to understand that I've been given the gift of eternal life. Heavenly Father, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I was fortunate enough to have one of the greatest soul winners that I am aware of right here at Calvary Gospel Church. George O'Neill gave my wife and I and Brother and Sister Nelson, several others, a Bible study. And it was through his passion and his burden for the lost. He can't teach a Bible study unless he's weeping. When he talks about the cross, it's not just the cross. It's, you know, he personalizes it. It's because it's his Savior. He died for you. He died for me. This is not a story. This is the reality of it. And if you don't feel an overwhelming compassion for the lost, then you don't have what you need. You need to go back to the drawing board. You need to get on your knees and repent and ask God, say, Lord, I don't feel like I need to feel. I don't have inside of me what I know I should have. See, God's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. You can't draw people to repentance unless you've repented. Does that make sense? You can't have a burden unless you've repented and you've had this experience. Praise God. You know, time as we know it is coming to a close. Anybody? Look at the newspaper. Look at the weather. Look at 9/11. Look at the tsunami. Look at the earthquakes in diverse places. When I came in, not all these things had actually come to pass. But now we're sitting here closer than any other generation has ever been to the rapture of the church. This is the time that we should look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. We don't have enough time to do the things that we may want to do. We're going to have to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anything in your life that's more important than your personal ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church, you are making a big mistake. I mean, we can have the best of both worlds. We can be totally sold out for Jesus and have a great job and a great career and all that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall follow after you. I want to be a soul winner first and foremost. I want to be a beacon. I want to be a light in a shining, that shine in a dark, dark world. God's looking for people just like you and just like me who are willing to be a light in a dark world. Praise God. People are lovers of money. They're filled with pride. And the dispensation of grace is coming to a close. It's going to be finalized so very soon. It's going to be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Praise God. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We need to get an eternal perspective tonight. We need to wake up some of those things in our spirit that maybe have been laying dormant again. We need an old-fashioned revival, first of all, in our heart, in our soul, in our mind. Praise God. What an awesome time to be serving the living God. What an awesome time where sin is abounding on every shore. Sin is all around us. I remember reading a story of Chesty Puller, an old Marine Corps general back in World War II. His couriers came and said, General Puller, he said, the enemy is on our left and it's on our right and they're behind us. They've completely surrounded us. He said, oh, wonderful. He said, we've got them right where we want them. Praise God. They can't escape now. You can't go out your door unless you find someone you can witness to. You can walk across the street and witness to your neighbor. Maybe it's just by cutting their lawn. Maybe it's just by picking up some trash. Maybe it's by sitting with their kids when they're in the hospital or something. That's witnessing. That's drawing people to you. That's allowing the love of Jesus Christ to flow from you. We have been put here for such a time as this. This is our time. This is our hour. Where sin is abounding, the grace of God much more abounds. We just need to wake up and understand it and get excited about it. Praise God. I'm getting more excited the more I talk about it because this is the day that we've all been waiting for. I don't want to be kept on a, I don't want to be sleeping when this happens. I don't want to be slumbering. I don't want to be in a position where I miss out on the thing that I've been living for 32, 33 years. This is what we've been waiting for. This is our hour. You don't think that God's going to pour out his spirit like he never has before? You know, the Bible says the latter rain is greater than the former rain. Whatever happened before us, it's going to be much, much greater today. Praise God. There's more prayer and fasting going on at Calvary Gospel Church in 2012 than we've had in a long time. We have more people, young and old, who are feeling a stirring in their spirit. They're feeling they can't continue just to go to church three times a week. They need to go out to the highways and the byways and to compel people to come in to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. As you read through revival history, you'll find that there's two key elements that you'll find in every major revival that has ever come to United States or the world for that matter. And it's two things, agonizing prayer and deep repentance. Agonizing prayer and deep repentance. I'm not talking about I pray every day. I'm talking about that prayer, that intercessory prayer when you're praying for people who are lost and you know, you don't even know many times who you're praying for, but you feel a burden inside of it because eternity is beckoning. We are going to see the greatest move of God that we've ever seen. If, you know, this revival that we're talking about, I'm believing it's coming here to Calvary Gospel Church. I believe we have the pastor that has led us to this point. I believe this is the reason why he's been under a physical attack for these last 2 years. And I believe with all my heart that God's going to heal him and he's going to lead us into this revival. Praise God. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? If you believe it, then speak it in your prayer. Speak to his body. Speak to the pain. Speak to his back. And just pray that God would do what he promised he would do. 2 Chronicles 7:13. This is the formula, praise God, for revival. And first of all, I think it's important to understand, revival may come to Calvary Gospel Church and you're going to miss it. You can miss it. You can be sitting right in the midst of revival, the greatest revival Calvary Gospel Church has ever seen, and miss it because you weren't willing to do what this says here. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Boy, that sounds familiar. No rain. You know, one more year of no rain in this country, we are the breadbasket of the world. Did you know that? If United States stops exporting grain, there will be worldwide famine in less than 3 years. Trust me, I've talked to people who do this commodity trading, I should say, and they've already told me this, that China is exporting more wheat and grain than they ever have. Brazil used to export it. Now they're importing it. So we're basically the ones that feed most of the known world. Praise God. Be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people. You know, there's more crazy diseases and plagues and swine flu and bird flu and hoo-hoo flu. I don't know. There's all kinds of floozies around here. Boy, floozies, that's not a good one. That's right, peculiar people. He said it, I did. Praise God. You know, it's hard to get spirits again when you say something dumb. But this is the reality of it. If my people, which are called by my name, now you tell me who we're talking about here. If my people who are called by my name, I'm so thankful when people say to me, oh, you're part of that Jesus only group. Thank you, Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby I must be saved. Hallelujah. Yes, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father above all, through all, and in you all. Yeah, I'll be Jesus only. Oh, here I go again. I'm feeling it. And turn from their wicked ways. There, that's you, that's me. Our wicked ways sometimes, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't do this, we don't do that, so we feel very comfortable. What God's looking for is people who are not only not doing things that they know they're not supposed to do, but those people that have a burden to seek and save that which is lost, who feel compelled to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, who love people enough to understand that you have to be the one that tells them. There's nobody else that's going to do it. There's not a lot of us here, but there's enough people to start turn this city upside down. Listen. Let's just look at some of the historical facts here. Frank Bartleman, a leader in the Azusa Street Revival, wrote the following. The depth of revival will be determined exactly by the depth of the spirit of repentance. Hello? If you're looking for personal revival, then you need to dig deep into your own soul. And you need to pull out any root of bitterness, anything that's going on the inner man. You can come up and shake my hand, and I can shake your hand, and inside of you, you could be bitter, you could be lonely, you could be feeling estranged, you could have a thing for God because you're mad at him or whatever. Listen, you need to dig until God exposes it to you. The Bible says God's not willing that anybody should perish and all should come to repentance. Hey, if there's something wrong, let's fix it. God says, let's fix it. Come on to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Let's get it over. Let's stop the pouting. Let's stop the stuff that's keeping you from doing what you've been called to do. Praise God. And get involved in the work of the Lord. Praise God. And many of you are very involved in the work of the Lord, but don't think for a second that that's as far as God wants to take you. I mean, there's dimensions that we have not even considered. There are places that God wants to take this church, and I know, I can feel the anointing around some of you. And there's some of my real heroes around here, Brother Forkpaw and Brother and Sister Russell. You know, here's a man that is earned retirement, and he's doing more for God now. He's working harder for the Lord than you can possibly imagine. He's loving it. He considers it a privilege to have his health to understand that, hey, I can still be used. I may have retired as an active pastor, but listen, he's involved in so many things. In a modern-day apostle, Brother Forkpaw, going all over the country, the United States, seeking to save that which is lost. Why is that? Because there's a need. And he listened to the voice of God. You can never hear God's voice unless you repent. You'll never know what God really has for you until you get to the depths of repentance. Praise God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And there's that humble. You cannot exclude getting humble. The only way I know to get humble is by fasting. That dirty word, that word that our flesh just cringes at. Prayer and fasting are the two centuries standing at the door to spiritual greatness, standing at the door of eternity. If you're not willing, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. prayer and fasting. You want to be doing something great for God, begin to repent, begin to pray, begin to seek God, and get into another dimension. You'll never be happy in the dimension you're at because God has something else planned for you. He's got a bigger, more, a deeper ministry, a more fulfilling ministry. But you'll never know it unless you repent, unless you seek God with all of your heart. We must remember about repentance. We need to keep our minds on our eternal purpose. And I can't stress that enough. Why did God call us out of darkness? What was the purpose? Was it just so we could be here and enjoy this wonderful fellowship and enjoy the worship and enjoy our... we've got the greatest pastor in the world, John W. Grant. He's awesome. He's amazing. The depths of his wisdom and his teaching and preaching is... I'm so thankful that I've been here for 32 years, 33 years. But that's not my calling. I'm 70 and I'm believing this is just the beginning. I'm going to not hit full stride until I'm 80. I want to be Moses. I want to go the last 40 years. I want to really make a splash. Why not? If you want to throw in the towel at 65, be my guest. Hallelujah. Matthew Henry said, when God intends great mercy for his people, the first thing he does is set them a praying. First thing that happens to you will... When you begin to pray and seek God in repentance, God's going to call you into a depth of prayer that you've never been in. He's going to call you into a dimension, and you're going to get engulfed in prayer. I mean engulfed in prayer. Prayer won't be something that you, oh my goodness, it's Friday night prayer. You'll get here an hour early and stay an hour later. You'll feel like praying more than you've ever felt before. If you're having trouble praying, repent. That's pretty rocket ship, isn't it? You don't need a degree in theology to understand. The problem is not God. The problem is me. The problem is, why wouldn't I want to pray to the God who's able to do above and beyond that which I ask or think? That who's given me these wonderful promises. If I call him, he's going to answer me. He's promised he would answer me. He'd give me everything I need to be successful in this kingdom. He's already given it to us. It's just a matter of us picking up and getting it, praise God. It's like a safety deposit box. He's put his key in. It takes two keys. His key's in, it's been turned. Now all we need to do is understand. We have to do something. We can't just stand here and wait for something to happen. We have to stick the key in. Some of you are sitting there with latent gifts that you know they're inside of you. You understand they're inside of you. Some gifts of the Spirit, you understand it, and you've allowed them to slip away. It's not too late to start afresh. The wonderful thing about this relationship, his mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. You can do all things, not just things you did 25 years ago or 30 years ago or last week. New things are coming for you. New dimensions are coming for you. God needs a church that's alive and ready to move at a moment's notice. This is an army. Praise God, an army of sanctified, blood-washed warriors who understand this span of life. I would have never dreamed I'd be 70 years old. Never. And all of a sudden, I woke up, and my wife said, happy birthday, honey. 70? You got to be. Now I'm in the old-timers club. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? I'm going to enjoy every phase of the journey. There'll be a day, no doubt, that I won't be able to do the physical things that I can do, but I can mentor, I can pray. As long as I have breath, I'll be able to praise the Lord. As long as I can say a word of encouragement, I can praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Halalama hasakahata. Praise God. Leonard Ravenhill wrote this, the man who can get believers to praying would usher in the greatest revival the world has ever known. If you have a family here tonight, if you can get them praying, if you can pray with them, if you can pray around them and prayer becomes part of them, listen, you will usher in a personal revival in their life. A.T. Pearson wrote this: from the day of Pentecost, there has not been one great spiritual awakening in any land which has not begun with a union of prayer. Not one. Revival history, every single revival, and there's a lot of them here, and no such movement continued. There were movements. There was the recent one was the Brown. It was Brown County, Florida, I think it was. They had 195,000 visitors in 3 years. People came from all over the world. The Spirit of God was poured out in a great and a mighty way. Guess how that revival started? When people started getting discontented and with just all this evil around them, and they knew, don't you ever feel all this authority God's given you and all this power, and you still see precious people that you love falling into the pit? And you have the solution, and all you need to do is repent to the point where you're going to get a hold of God, to the point where he cannot. Your prayers will come up as a memorial before God, and he has no choice but to do what you've asked him to do. That's part of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Charles Finney is often regarded as the great revival preacher of all times. He had some interesting views on how and why revival came. It's almost scientific in a spiritual sense. He was convinced through many years of revival ministry that God intended the church to live continually in a revival state. Now, this is the neat part. Finley was convinced that if a church would just meet the basic conditions for revival, deep repentance and sincere, heartfelt, agonizing prayer, revival would always result. Always result. He likened it onto a field of wheat. If a farmer tills the soil and provides the right seed, there will be a crop. There, if the conditions of the soil, and for our purpose, the soil is our heart, deep felt repentance, agonizing prayer, tears of repentance, you will get a crop. You will get results. I don't care who you are, how many physical or whatever limitations you might feel you have. Finney said that revival is not an accident. It's no more a miracle than a crop of wheat. If we're willing to do our part, God's willing to do his part. Now, when we're speaking about revival, we're not talking about this revival where there's 350 souls. The best year I think I remember having here, we had 360 in 1 year. We've had as low as 40, and as we began to progress. And that is a drop in the bucket. See, this is not where God has intended this to go. We're just scratching at this. Brother Richie back there has been communicating with pastors all over India. And last I heard, it was over 3,000 ministers brought their whole congregations into the kingdom of God. Because one man said, look, I can't do some things because of my work schedule, but I can do this. I can get on the computer. And I'll begin talking to these guys, telling them what they need to do. And would you believe, pastors, hundreds, thousands of people have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost because one man. Unfortunately, he's not a Marine, but we're going to not hold that against him. I remember we had a film in here a while back, and it was a revival that happened in Guatemala. What an awesome thing. The whole town was taken over with alcoholism and witchcraft, and marriages were falling apart. And some people, two or three people, started praying and fasting and seeking God, and then two more people. Then pretty soon there was a whole 20, 30, 40, 50, and then revival broke out. What we're talking about is a supernatural move of the Holy Ghost that spreads beyond what two or three people could do. It filled that valley there, and the bars shut down. Can you imagine the University of Wisconsin bar shut down and the football stadiums turn into a prayer meeting? Oh, praise God. It can happen. Listen, people are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, but you need to remember something. God can do all things. And when we get serious with him and get to the point where we are praying and fasting and seeking God, I'm so excited about what God is going to do. He's done some great things, but I'm looking for that great. We're looking to Pastor Grant's vision is 20,000 souls. It'll be a long, long time if we can only pull in 200, 300 people a year. What we need is a supernatural outpouring. Some of you may have heard about the second great revival in Kentucky. It began in 1800. In a few years, there were over 10,000 people that were converted. Jonathan Edwards' great revival, 1740 to 1742. 2 years, over 50,000 people were converted out of a population of 250,000. This is God supernaturally moving upon hungry souls. But God's attention is turned when two or more gather together in His name, agreeing on this. God has promised revival. He has promised us to pour out His Spirit in these latter days like He never has before. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I have a lot of stuff here that I'd like to share with you, but if you read, some of you that have read the history of revivals, we look at revival and we have an evangelist in and we're excited because, our God heals today. Did you know that? Our God heals. In these revivals, hundreds of people were healed. Hundreds of people received the Holy Ghost. Thousands of people's lives were changed. Demonic forces were broken down. Witchcraft, all kinds of voodooism and things. When light shines in the darkness, the darkness gets out of here. If you have darkness in your spirit, get rid of it. You don't want any spot or blemish. He's coming back soon. And you're one step away from eternity. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Says to lay aside the sin that so easily in the weights. Sometimes, you get involved in things that weight you down. Sometimes it's jobs, sometimes it's relationships, sometimes it's money, whatever. And then sins, usually after you're on for a while, it's not the big issue. The issue is weights. Usually there's something in your life that's nagging at you. Unforgiveness, bitterness, something going on in the inside. And that's what's keeping you from going to the next dimension. But, wouldn't this be a great night to clear everything out? Wouldn't this be awesome just to, what if we had 100 people here tonight to decide, I believe that this is my day, this is my hour, and it's not me that's saying this. This is God talking to us, telling us that we've been given everything we need, all the tools, He's given us these great and mighty promises, but they don't just happen. You have to apply them. You have to develop them. You have to take faith and begin to do things you never thought you could do. If you're here tonight and perhaps you've never had a relationship with God, I would encourage you to come, because everyone here almost has been baptized in the precious name of Jesus and filled with His Holy Spirit. I came in here 32 years ago bound with alcohol and some other horrible sins that I tried my best. I just couldn't get rid of them. And one day I was asked to come to a Pentecostal church, and the rest is history. God delivered me. You may be here tonight without a lot of sin on your life. Maybe you've never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Some people come here and they're like Priscilla and Aquila. They just need the word of God expounded to them just a little more so they understand a little more. Would you come tonight, those of you that would like to renew a relationship with God, maybe establish a stronger relationship with God, or maybe a first-time experience? Praise God. Thank you.